Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 Till. A little bit of the Birds bringing us back. It's an old song. Not just the song, but the original song is an old one. And a great one, too. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff that will help you with your small business. The articles, the archives. The Brain Trust members are there. Thousands of all of those. We got a small business minute. We got a motivational minute. We got something you can read in 5 seconds. We got something you can, stuff you can read in 3 minutes. We got things you can listen to in a minute or 8 minutes or 15 minutes. We got lots of stuff. Whatever time you have on any topic that's on your mind about small business and maybe a few other things too. And don't forget our poll question right there on the homepage. We ask a different question every week. We want to know what you think. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. David Dossie is our guest. He's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, a partner with Gallagher and Dossie, an intellectual property attorney. Intellectual property law firm, I should say, in Columbus, Ohio, but he works with people all over the country, just like me. And we're talking about outsourcing. And David, you know, and by the way, we're talking about intellectual property and outsourcing and dealing with those, the combination of those two things. You know that I've been driving this idea of outsourcing, of using other people to do things that are non-core competencies so you can focus on the key things. This is one of the great things. This whole marketplace of outsourced resources out there is one of the great parts of the American economy, American marketplace. And I encourage small business owners to do this all the time. I'm also encouraging them to pay attention to their intellectual property and have been for a long time. You've helped me with that. But we have to talk about what happens when those two come together and how do we protect our intellectual property when other people have access to it. Exactly. So how do we do that? What are some things that we need to do?
Well, obviously good contracts are the key. And I deal with small businesses daily and they're always hesitant about forcing a contract on another party, but you have to keep in mind most of the vendors that you're outsourcing to are also small businesses.
Right.
So it's not as if you're trying to negotiate with Walmart.
Right.
You know, you're dealing with another small business. And one thing to have in mind is once you get a good vendor agreement in place, that could be a vendor for hard products that they supply to you that you then resell at a hardware store,
mm-hmm.
or it could be a vendor agreement where your vendor is your website designer or
mm-hmm.
your consultant, but you know, one vendor agreement can try to encompass most of those things, you know, 95% of what you're doing. And if you deal with it once, generally you're going to keep reusing it because you
right.
get a comfort level with that.
Right.
And it pays off.
Well, and you also, after you've used it a few times, you wind up getting the language in a way that seems to be acceptable to more people. And you identify the things that are really important, but it is important to have these things. And one of the things that there's a word that I found is awfully handy in these things, David. You're the lawyer, but I've as you know, I've looked at a lot of contracts over the years, and I found in these kind of situations, there's one word that really takes the sting out of a document like this, and that word is mutual.
Sure.
Talk to us about mutual, the power
of
mutual.
Absolutely. You know, anytime when you get a document and it appears extremely one-sided, you know, if you take the position that, well, if it's good for protecting you, well, it should also be good for
right.
protecting me.
Right.
And that can go from whether it's confidentiality or, you know, indemnification on
right.
certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, anytime, and that's the thing, too, with vendors, you have to keep in mind that vendors are supplying you with goods. You're paying them, so you are their client. So
right.
really, you are in the bargaining position or the power position, and you start with your standard agreement because everyone wants to, you know, give you a purchase order or something with standard terms
right.
on it. And you have to be very hesitant and wary of those things. And if you're the one writing the check in the relationship, you use your agreements and start there, because mm-hmm. they include all the nuances that are common in your business and protect your well-being more so than, you know, the vendors.
Well, and you know, when I think about, when I talk about mutual, you know, it's the parties mutually agree, the parties agree to mutually protect each other's intellectual property. They agree to mutually indemnify each other. You know, David, and folks, the reason this is important is because, David, I'm seeing more and more contracts coming in where, from bigger companies, for example, that are one-sided. You know, the party, meaning me, the other party, meaning me, agrees to this and that. And you know what I do? I don't care how big the company is. I scratch through the other party, and I write in mutual. I don't even have to call you, David, about this. I just write through mutually agree. And you know what? I send it back to them. And I mean, you know, I've done this with some big companies, and they've never turned me down.
Mm-hmm.
So these attorneys, they're going to send it out and see what they can get away with. And if you balk, they know that anybody who disagrees with mutual indemnification, mutual protection, is somebody who you don't want to do business with.
Sure. You know, there are times, you know, the more one-sided provisions in your standard vendor agreements, so you know where the negotiation points are. And if 50% of the people just sign it right off the bat, you know, that's fine. But the other 50, there is some giving.
I don't care what company it is. You can push back on stuff and you can win. I know you don't want to lose a business. I don't know you don't want to take anybody off. But you got to force the hand of the lawyers. You're not forcing the hand of the executives or the managers. You're forcing the hand of the lawyers, folks. Tintail, right back with David Doxey. More to come after these messages. Tintail.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.